Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Real Talk, a Real People Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and to know your interaction with him your interaction with one another, and your interaction with strangers, different nations. But before we get started in our studies, as I was saying, yes, we do need devotion, considering the circumstances. Yes, we had a bad snow. As a matter of fact, it's still snowing in Memphis, Tennessee. In a couple of days, I went out today. I was impressed somewhat with the drivers down here because I know they're not used to this type of weather. I've lived in Chicago, so I'm used to this type of weather and I have to drive. You don't fight the weather. You roll with the weather because you can't beat Mother Nature. As we can see in Texas, Texas is in a crisis because of the heating element and because they're not used to this type of weather. And I was thinking about that. You need independent heating systems, sewer systems in your homes. Independent. Sometimes you need an outhouse. You know, I'm going to keep it real. Sometimes, you know, you need an independent heating system. People are sleeping in their cars, sleeping in houses where ice is dripping from ceiling fans. So when you're totally dependent on the system, and the system is faulty, it puts you in dire straits. So the next time, perhaps you get you a home or whatnot, you need a home that's built upon an independent heating, water, and sewer system. As I said, sometimes you have to go back in time to an outhouse. I know it's not comfortable, but it's better than your sewer system running through your house and so on and so forth. And also, most importantly, be cognizant of COVID-19. Do your mask wearing, hot water hand washing. And as I said, if you are in these situations, these dire straits, as in Texas, you don't have hot water because you're not independent of the system. You can't even have a fire to boil hot water. So that's why independency is quite needed under these circumstances. And social distancing. And most importantly, take care of your state of mind. Mental health is important. And do the best you can with what you have. Make sure your health is the best that it can be as far as your nutrition is concerned, as far as your exercise is concerned, and as far as your mental state of mind is concerned. That being said, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you, too, and your family.
I appreciate that. The Most High has unleashed his forces. They call it Mother Nature, but I don't call it that because the Most High controls all that, the snow, the wind, the rain, the fire, obey his command. So
you're certainly right.
Mother Nature, that's like, you know, an element that's got its own mind, but
right. It
ain't really like that.
No. She's not independent of Yah's control. You're right.
Oh, no. Not at all. So when you think about Mother Nature, it's like, you know, independent source that's doing what it want to do, when it want to do it, how it want to do it. But that ain't how Yah creation works.
No.
We've read how Yah controls everything under the sun, even the sun itself that he created. But, yeah, man, my prayers go out to our family in the southern states that are used to the cold weather, the snow and the ice and the black top, you know, roadways. I just say be careful not to try to get heat sitting in your car in a garage with a closed door.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Because you can smell carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide.
That's dangerous. Unless you have lamb backing on what Cartrell just said. Unless you make sure your exhaust is clear in open air, not snow around it, Because if you have snow around that exhausts you outside, it can come back on you. So make sure your exhaust on your car is independent and clear of any snow. And if you in your garage, that's a no-no, like Cartrell alluded to.
Just like generators, you shouldn't have a generator in your house.
Exactly.
Because it produces the same type of gas that you can't see, smell, and it'll overwhelm you. So generators should be kept outside unless
exactly.
they got indoor generators, like solar panel that you can get electricity
right.
from. I think our people should invest in that.
Yeah,
because,
but you know what? Well, contrary to how we built our houses was conducive to that because we built our houses with roofs that had parapets on them. Therefore,
right.
you had access to your roofs. And so in that case, if you had a generator, you had access to your room, you could have your generator on top of your roof, and you could connect everything by virtue of your generator, but we don't build houses like we built houses. They don't build houses like we built them.
So we deal with the cold here in New York, and when we don't have no power or electricity or whatever, and our apartments are cold, we turn on the stove and put pots of water on top.
Right.
And we turn the oven on and open the oven door.
Right. What does that do, Cartrell, when you put pots of water on top?
Well, the steam from the pots on top of the stove permeates the house.
Okay, okay. Good. That's good information, Cartrell, you're telling me. Good information.
Yeah. But you got to monitor that, you know, in case you got little children. You don't want hot water falling on them.
Exactly.
And scalding them. So you have
exactly.
to be careful if you have
exactly.
little children around.
Exactly.
So those are just emergency situations, but we should be prepared, you know, thinking ahead, you know, not relying and just accepting the fact that every day is going to be all right. Because out of the blue, you know, you might be without power, without, you know, emergency supplies. So it's always good to stock up little by little and not to panic. But, you know, flashlights and batteries and candles when the lights and the power go out. But, you know, people lived without electricity for a long time. And usually when the sun went down, they went to bed until the sun came back up. But living in some serious times because we're so dependent on, you know, doing what we want to do 24/7 based on a grid. And a grid, it
right.
seemed to be, you know, under strain.
Falling
but,
apart, material. Yeah, falling apart.
No question.
And independent. Some of y'all may think, oh, that's old timing. You know, I wouldn't mind. It wouldn't bother me to live in a cabin that didn't have electricity. As long as I had means for lighting and means to warm my cabin. I mean, I'm not trying to live the life of luxury. I'm trying to live the life of survival, subsistence. And so sometimes you got to get your mindset out of living a life of luxury and just survive. And by the looks of it, because the infrastructure, as Cartrell alluded to, is under immense burden, perhaps you may consider going back to a different time frame as far as your survival is concerned. Cartrell, fellow students, if Cartrell doesn't have any more commentary on subject matter, we will get back in our studies. Cartrell, you have any more commentaries?
That's about it.
Okay.
You know, the grid is old, is weak, and we just got to be prepared.
Be prepared. Key word, as Cartrell alluded to.
And one
okay.
other thing, if it's snowing where you at, you shouldn't be out
yeah,
there driving.
Yeah, I wasn't Cartrell for the last several days. But I had to make a move. I tried to go to the military base. And when I got there, they had the back gate closed. They had the base closed. So I had to turn around and go down into the inner city of Millerton. And when I got there, the driver was kind of harsh on the secondary roads. But as I said, I'm used to driving. I don't fight Mother Nature. And I know how to drive on snow and ice, unlike a lot of people. I slow it down. I don't fight Mother Nature. I go with Mother Nature. I don't fight Yah. I go with Yah, and I'm in a better position because I don't fight Yah. I go with Yah as far as that is concerned. But I thank you, Katria, for your concern. Well, turn to the 25th chapter of Devarim. And some of you call it Deuteronomy, but its true name is Devarim. And we'll get started in our studies. It's getting rather interesting, brothers and sisters, in these studies, because we try to turn over every leaf and every stone and try to glean as much as possible. And here's how it goes. When there is a dispute between men and they go to law, and a decision is rendered, declaring the one in the right and the other in the wrong. We had legal procedures. If the guilty one is to be flogged, the magistrate shall have him lie down and be given lashes in his presence by count, as his guilt warrants. You know, you didn't go to jail for civil matters and some legal matters. We didn't have prisons. He may be given up to 40 lashes, but no more. Least being flogged further to Essex, your brother be degraded before your eyes within reason. You flogged him within reason, up to 40 lashes. And here's a wonderful thing. Go ahead, Cartrell.
So what kind of disputes we get into? This brother stole my watch.
Exactly. Exactly.
You find the evidence. You're going to get some lashes.
Yeah, you're going to get some whooping. They ain't going to put you in jail for burglary or minor criminal acts, but you're going to get your behind whooped. You may think it's rather harsh, but I don't think so. Not if you've been behind no four stars with bars. You wouldn't see this as harsh. You see this as justice. I'd rather add to 40 lashes, up to 40 lashes, considering some of the four stars and bars I've been, I had the privilege to be registered in. I much preferred the lashes that they were going to give me, up to 40 lashes. I know it's quite painful, but maybe it will put you to mind, don't do what you're doing. What is that old saying? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. If you can't do the licking, don't get the sticking with your sticky fingers. If you can't take the lickings, don't get the sticking with your sticky fingers. It's just that simple.
And it was a public event, so everybody saw you.
Everybody knew what you were up to. Everybody knew you had sticky fingers. And here's a wonderful thing, Cartrell. The Most High is concerned about our animals, too. This why. You should not mother an ox while it's threshing. You can't put one of them things over his mouth. The ox got a right to eat, too. The ox putting in work. So you may say, hey, man, this ox eating food. Where the ox working? Need to be paid. So the Most High was concerned about animal rights. So that animal had a right to eat, as long as it's putting in work. I like that, Cadrill.
Yeah.
When brothers dwell together, one of them dies and leave no sons, the wife of the deceased shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband and brother shall unite with her, take her as his wife, and perform the levir duties. The first son that she bears shall be accounted to the dead man as his first son, that his name may, if the man does not want to marry his brother's widow, his brother's widow shall appear before the elders in the gate and declare, my husband's brother refused to establish a name in Israel for his brother, a lineage. He would not perform the duty of levir. The elders of his town shall then summon him and talk to him. If he insists, saying, I do not want to marry her, his brother's widow shall go up to him in the presence of the elders, pull off the sandal of his foot, spit in his face, and make this declaration. Thus shall be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house. The Most High was always saw the importance of the family relationship and lineage in one's house. And so to take, pull the sandal off his foot and spit in his face was an insult to him, a high insult.
And so you remember the story of Judah and Tamar, right?
Exactly. I remember the story of Ruth and her husband, how he had went to the next in line in regards to Ruth in order for him to marry her. He didn't want her. And so Boaz had an opportunity to fulfill that duty, and he took that opportunity. And therefore, we had King Dawood as a result, doing the right thing.
Well, with Ruth and Boaz, this law was put into effect for the nation.
Right.
With Judah, this was a custom and a tradition.
Right.
Because the law wasn't in effect.
Exactly.
So when Shelah was supposed to be given to Tamar because Judah, sons died, Er and Onah,
right.
Judah promised Tamar
right.
that
right.
Shelah would be given to her when he was old enough.
Right.
And then Judah lived. So it wasn't a law, but the fact that it was an Eastern tradition, the Most High made it a law for our nation.
And it's a good law, Cartrell. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. It keeps the family
about it, though.
Right.
The son that marries his brother's wife in order to raise a seed for him.
Right.
That son is not his brother's son.
Right.
It's the brother that died's son.
Right, right. The one that passed on. The firstborn.
Right. So
the firstborn
that
would
son
be,
that his brother has for him takes
right.
his brother's place.
Exactly.
In the family.
Exactly. Keeps the family together, knitted together.
Right.
And he shall go in Israel by the name of the family of the unsandaled one. They're gonna put a name on him. They gonna call him the family of the unsandaled one. You ain't right. Everybody gonna know about you. If two men get into a fight with each other, and you keep these women in check too. And I didn't say it, but Yah said it. If two men get into a fight with each other, and a wife of one comes up to save her husband from the antagonist, and puts out her hand and sees him by his genitals, you should cut off her hand and show no pity, because you get a little forward, a little personal. You grabbing the main thing. You getting a little too personal. You grabbing the main thing. No, the Most High said you a little too forward in that. Grabbing the man's testicles, okay? Genitals. And so cut her hand off because she looked forward. And don't have no pity on her because she shouldn't have went there. You should not have.
That's the man's seed. That's his
exactly.
root.
Right.
And if anything happens, he can't have any children, it would be her fault.
Exactly. And she was looking forward in doing that. You should not have in your pouch alternate weights. You don't have double weights in your pouch, larger or smaller. We don't steal from people. You should not have in your house alternate measures, a larger and a smaller. You must have complete honest weights and complete honest measures. If you are to endure long on the sword that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you, the Most High didn't believe in no crooked dealing. But everyone who does those things, everyone who deals dishonestly, is abhorrent to Yah, your Elohim, something that is detestable to him. Remember,
I think that's where that flogging comes in, bro.
Exactly. Remember when Amalek did to you on your journey after you left Mizraim. How, undeterred by fear of Yah, he surprised you on the march when you were famished and weary and cut down all the stragglers in your rear. He was after you. He was cutting down all the stragglers in your rear. Therefore, when Yah, your Elohim, grants you safety from all your enemies around you in the land that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you as an hereditary portion, you should blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Do not forget. Sock sold to him. because they had no business picking at you, meddling. They was after you. I mean, they were picking off stragglers. They were harassing you. So when you get in your land, don't forget, be like Shaka Zulu on them. Mandy, if there were anyone here that's offended you, be like Shaka Zulu on them. Get them, every one of them. Don't give them no pass. Because they had no business meddling with you and picking off stragglers. They didn't do the right thing, so show them no mercy. Blot them out. May sound rather harsh to you, but if you know anything about Shaka Zulu, that's what gives his tribe. Because of the fact that giving people passes that you don't have ill intent against you. You remember when Shaka Zulu, that woman that was in the family, was mistreating his mother, and she gave her a pass? But the very same woman was instrumental in undermining Shaka Zulu. So when Shaka Zulu asked his mother, Mandy, is there anyone here that has offended you? His mother should have spoke up. All right, Contrail.
So you know who Amalek is, right?
Yeah, the Amaleks. Yeah.
That's Esau. That's our brother.
Wait. Let me go back. I'm missing something here. Do not forget. You should blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven.
These are not the Ammonites or the Moabites. This is Amalek.
Right.
They wanted the tribes of Esau, our brother.
So it's one. So it's not the whole. It's not whole Esau. It's one of the derivative tribes of Esau. Okay.
Right. You got to look up their genealogy.
Okay.
It's like we're not all Judah. They're not all Amalek.
Right. Not now, because I was questioning, Kachel, that we don't want to hate Esau. But this is the derivative tribe of Esau. And they were much more hostile. They were much more hostile toward us. And because of their hostility, their open hostility, the Most High said, block them out. Don't spare them. And I can understand that now, Gautrell. And that's why I said, hey, I'm lost here. So that's why it's good to have question and answers.
Yeah. When did he say to do that?
It was, let's go back then. Therefore, when Yahweh Elohim grants you safety from all your enemies around you, in your land, that Yahweh Elohim is giving you as an hereditary in your land, who took care of that business then. Should took care of business then, should have wiped them out then.
After Yah has given us the land.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Which means we not taking the land. Who's taking the land?
Nobody taking nothing. I just read Yah.
Yah's taking the land, and he's giving it to us.
And that's that on that. No question. No question, Katria.
So Yah's giving us our inheritance, which is the land. We got to fight, though. We got to knock people out the land. But he said, once I knock these people out the land, you've conquered them, and you've had rest. It's at that time you go after Amalek, and that's what happened. King David went after Amalek.
because they had beef with us. We didn't have beef with them. They had beef with us, and they were picking us off. Open hostilities against us for no good reason, just because. So they people like that must be dealt with. All right, Contrail, if you don't have any more commentaries on this last study chapter, we'll move right along.
Yeah, we can keep it moving. Move right along.
Thank you. Thank you very much. When you enter the land that Yahweh Elohim has given you as an heritage.
What?
When you enter the land that Yahweh Elohim is giving you as an heritage.
As a what?
And you, as an heritage. And you possess it and settle in it. You should take some of the first fruit, your first crop, of the soil which you harvest from the land that Yah, your Elohim, is giving you. Put it in the bag.
You put all or some.
Let me see. To me, you should take some.
Yeah.
Of every first fruit of the soil on your plot of land, put it in a basket. Go to the place where Yahweh Elohim would choose to establish his name. You shall go to the priest in charge at that time, the high priest, and say to him, I acknowledge this day before Yah, your Elohim, that I entered the land that Yah swore to our fathers to assign us. Just make that declaration. The priest should take the basket from your hand, set it down in front of the altar of Yah, your Elohim. Shall then recite as follows before Yah, your Elohim. My father was a fugitive, Aramine. I checked out what they look like, and they look remotely like us today. He went down to Mizraim with meager numbers and sojourned there. There he became great and very populous, a great and very populous nation. They grew. The Mizraimites dealt harshly with us and oppressed us. They imposed heavy labor upon us. We cried to Yah, the Elohim of our fathers, our founding fathers. Yah heard our plea, saw our plight, our misery, and our oppression. Yah freed us from by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm and awesome power, by signs and portents. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wherefore, I now bring the first fruit of the soil which you, O Yah, has given me. You shall leave it before Yah, your Elohim. Bow low, giving you the specification, the codification. Bow low before Yah, your Elohim. Contingent upon what you said in your acts, and you shall enjoy together with the Levite, people of different nations, stranger in your midst, all the bounty that Yah, your Elohim, has bestowed upon you and your household. When you have set aside and for the tenth part of your year, the whole year, in the third year, the year of tithes, and have given it to the Levites. The strangers, you got to provide for strangers, different nations, the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows, that they may eat their fill in your settlements. You should make this declaration before Yah, your Elohim. I have cleared out the consecration portion from the house. I have given it to the Levites, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, just as you commanded me. I have neither transgressed nor neglected any of your commandments. I have not eaten of it while in mourning. I have not cleared out any of it while I was unclean. The Most High is down with cleanliness. And I have not deposited any of it with the dead. I have obeyed Yah my Elohim. I've done just as you commanded me. Look down from your contingent upon that, doing everything that Yah commands you. This request. Look down from your holy abode from heaven and bless your people Israel in the soil, contingent upon your acts. You have given us a land flowing with milk and honey, as you foreswore our founding fathers. Yah, your Elohim, commands you this day to observe these laws and rules, codification and specification. Observe them faithfully with all your heart and soul. Let them become an innate part of your nature, secondary to you. You have affirmed this day that Yah, your Elohim, that you will walk in his ways, that you will observe his laws, codes and rules, codification and specifications, and that you will obey him. And Yah has affirmed you are as he promised you, contingent upon your acts, his treasured people, and those treasured people who shall observe all his commandments, contingent, saw as treasured, contingent upon the act of obeying all his codification and specification, and that he will set you in fame and renown in glory, high above all the nations that he has made, and that you shall be, as he promised, a holy people to Yah, your Elohim, contingent upon you following the codification and specification. He sees you as his treasured people, and he will set you on high as a result of that. Cartrell, my dear brother and friend, what say you?
Are we on high?
No, man, we on low.
So I guess we ain't doing his commandments, are we?
Bingo, you won the golden bear. No, we gonna call it golden bear. You won the golden lamb, Cartrell, the golden lamb.
Because if we was doing it, I'm sure Yah would fulfill his part of the promise of it, wouldn't
you? Yeah. We wouldn't be begging for everything. We wouldn't be saying, Black Lives Matter, please don't shoot for my hands up. I'm laying down in the middle of the street. Oh, please, give us some food stamps. Oh, please, give us some houses. Oh, please, give us some education. Oh, please. We've been doing all that. If we were doing what Yah said, we've been doing this canopy of begging. And we're good at that now because we're not following Yah's instructions. That's why we're good at begging, Cartrell. Oh, please, please, please. Just like Jane Brown.
So, in other words, we need Yah's education. We big enough for education, which we ain't never going to get. But we don't know nothing about Yah, and we don't want that.
Now, well, see, that's why they ain't coming on the Real Talk, Real Peep Show, Cartrell. That's too much like right there. Okay, they don't want to hear what Yah said. They want to hear something fancy. They want to hear something tickle me fancy, like tickle me ear more. Tell me something I want to hear. Like tickle me ear more. Don't tell me what Yah says. That's too much like work right there, Cartrell.
So Yahsu.
Yo.
What did the Most High command us to do every 3 years?
He tells us to bring a tenth of our the first fruits, and bring before Yah to the Levites, and take care of the strangers, the widows, the orphans, and to do everything he told you to do in so many instances.
And there's something we have to say when we bring that first fruit up.
You had to make that declaration. Yeah. Not only that, your actions and your words and deeds must be And then after that, it's contingent upon your words and deeds. You will make a declaration to Yah also. And we read that declaration, which you just can't. Right. Quite lengthy. But you just can't bring a basket and drop it off and walk away like it ain't got nothing.
Drop it off.
Drop it off at the gate. No. You got to humble yourself and get your mind right. Okay? Get your mind right.
Give thanks for what you got.
And this kid, you better have your mind right. You got to have your mind right to do that.
Absolutely.
Get your mind right.
It's serious. And these are the first fruits that came out the land when we conquered it.
Exactly.
So they couldn't just eat it. Oh, what kind of fruit is that? Pomegranate? I ain't never had a pomegranate. You couldn't just take it and eat it. No. You had to set it aside for the Most High.
Right. Right.
And you had to take it to them.
Right.
And the Levites.
And you got to make that declaration.
And he didn't say take all your first fruits. He said take some.
Right.
Right? Keep some for yourself.
Leave. Right. And you got to leave. You got to leave the rest of the first fruits for the Levites. Excuse me. Let me clarify that. For the stranger, different nations that are poor in need, the widow women and the orphans, and anybody else that's in poor need help. If you got it, go to give it to them. Let them eat their field.
It's called generosity.
Yep.
It was a generous nation, wasn't it?
We're giving. We're generous, Cadre. We just ain't generous to the people we need to be generous to. We're not generous to one another.
Yeah. We like our enemies. They don't give. They hoard.
Right.
You got billionaires. They got money they can't even spend in their lifetime, and they're not sharing it, are they?
They're not sharing, unfortunately, Cadre.
And our mentality is just like this. Whatever we got is mine. You get yours.
Yeah,
no,
I got it. I got mine. You get yours. Bad attitude to have, Cartrell. Bad attitude to have, brother.
Unfortunately, it leaves us surviving, not taking care of each other, because otherwise we'd be flourishing. We'd be prosperous.
Exactly.
Because we'd be obedient to Yah's word. And he said he would put us above the other nations. Other nations don't live like that.
Well, contrary, I'm going to tell you.
That come close.
I'm going to tell you this, contrary.
Not quite on this scale that Yah is talking about.
Well, contrary, my dear brother and friend, I'm going to tell you this, bro. I try to do a lot for our nations and strangers and whatnot. And it seems the more I do for nations, strangers, and whatnot, the more I have. So,
mm-hmm.
And I'm making this declaration on the air. If you got, and you can help, you need to give, okay? Hoarding is not good for you. It's not good for other people also. If you got to help folks out, I guarantee you that the Most High will bless you. He bless Yom Su, he'll bless you too. Because that's not who we are. This Western concept. Oh, I got mine. You better get yours. You better get off my front porch. I ain't got a damn thing for you. I'm pulling out a shotgun. No. That is not the way we ought to do it. That's not the way we're mandated to do it, and it doesn't work for us. It works on us. Trying to adopt this Western concept. This, what they call it, Cartrell. What is that? That C word they call it. Capitalism. It's not in our best interest, capitalism, a derivative of this Western concept. Okay? It's all about the capital, baby. No, it's not all about the capital. It's about what you do with the capital. Okay?
How many people suffer under capitalism?
Godrell, the whole universe suffers under capitalism.
There you go. Can't even put a number on it.
Yeah, you got the World Bank Organization, you got the International Monetary Funds, the whole world suffers under capitalism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what the World Bank Organization and the International Monetary Funds, it can go into your country, some of these so-called leaders that say, hey, can't nobody tell me nothing, I'm running New Guinea. But they can go into your country and tell you, well, you're not planting that crop because we're not buying it. What you're doing, you're going to make handbaskets. Well, I thought I was the leader. Well, you thought wrong. It's capitalism, baby. This is how we do it. You're not planting any crops to feed your people. What you're doing, you're making handbaskets. Okay? And that's all you better be doing. Otherwise, we're not going to subsidize you. That's capitalism, baby. World Bank Organization and the International Monetary Funds. If you don't know, now you know. Go ahead, Cartrell.
Yeah, I see you've been studying some political science, but they got some dudes that they call economic hitmen.
Right.
What they do is go into these third world countries or developing countries, and they lend them money to develop the resources of their land.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And then on the
get
market, they raise the price so high that they can't pay back the loans that they received.
Get
it's
them
like
in
the loan on your house. The bank takes hold of the property when you can't pay.
Get them in debt. Get them in debt. That's capitalism, baby.
Yep. And what the Most High say about our debt? Every 7 years, you're supposed to write it off, right?
Write them off. But see, that ain't capitalism. That's socialism. That's what y'all said. Y'all said you got to be social. You got to take care of one another. They don't like that. You said something about socialism, man, they want to lynch you. You damn socialists. But we were a socialist country, truth be told.
And what's the root of that word?
What's that, Cartrell?
I said, what's the root of that word? Because they got no problem with social media. You got
right.
a problem with socialism.
Well, I like that, Cartrell. They got a problem with social media. That's being social, Cartrell. They're looking out for society. Everybody in the society. Every human being. Ain't no throwaway person. Everybody's important. I don't care if it's the widow women, the strangers, the orphans, anybody in need. Everybody's important to y'all. So I like that.
Said, Even the bird and her eggs, if you find it.
Exactly.
The ox, if he's in your field.
Right. Even animals. Right. Even animals are important to you.
Everything that he created is important.
Yeah,
we just supposed to be taking care of it.
Right.
It starts with us treating each other correctly, doesn't it?
Exactly.
If we can't treat each other correctly, how are we going to treat the rest of creation correctly?
That's what I'm talking about, Katra. You're not going to treat so-called Mother Nature, which is Yah's inheritance, and animals correctly. You're going to be a cruel taskmaster when it comes to animals. Mother him up. He don't need to be eaten. He already fed already. Right here working on my threshing field, eating up my food. Now Yah said, don't mother the ox. Mother not the ox that treaded the corn. Or treaded anything, for that matter. And you know, Cartrell, I would much rather take Yah's lead as far as being social to one another, being considerate toward animals, and being considerate toward this earth that we have been provided for by Yah,
yeah,
the King of Abraham, Isaac, and Yah. I'd rather go Yah's way because I've seen the end result of Western culture and capitalism. And all about themselves, and don't give a damn about the land, don't give a damn about animals, and don't give a damn certainly about you and me. I see the end result, and they're witnessing.
What is inflation, recession, and depression?
Right.
So I see you're going to charge me $1 for a bag of chips that used to cost 10 cents. And when I was paying 10 cents, it was way more in the bag.
Yeah.
Then we're not paying $1 for. So the Most High said, just weights, just balances in the bag. But capitalism says inflation, depression, recession.
you, me and you used to go to Stoke, and we have a nickel or a penny. Dad, we can come out with that Stoke with a soda pop, a sandwich,
yep,
and three cookies with a dime.
A slice of pizza was 15 cents, bro. And it had more cheese and sauce on it than it does today.
Contrail, you can eat smell a slice of pizza for 16 cents. They only let you smell the pizza for that.
Inflation, recession,
inflation,
depression. Come on, man. You're lying. This is capitalism. Exploitation.
At its best.
Squeeze the most out of you that they can until you die.
You ain't
while
lying.
You running a rat race that nobody wins.
You showed over to say that's capitalism at its best. I must rather be a socialist nation like Yah intended for us to be, because it works for everybody. Everybody. It's way up taking
look at Cuba.
Care. Right.
Cuba is a socialist nation, and guess what?
What's that, my brother?
You go to school for free. You could become an engineer, a doctor.
Yeah, for free.
For free.
For free, yeah.
And
not so here.
You kind of keep the homeless. I pray for my homeless brothers and sisters in Texas.
Yeah, man. I pray for my homeless brothers and sisters, university speaking, Cartrell.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
not only
right now. You got
right,
people in Texas in their houses dying. How about the people on the street?
Yeah, let us pray for them, Cartrell. Let us pray for them. Well, Cartrell, my brother, have you done with your commentaries? I certainly am. And we're looking for another lovely songs coming from you. And so we can be all ears, because we need everything right now. We need everything. We need everything from y'all. And so we're
I'm going to scrape up some crumbs off this table before I go. Back to the 11th verse.
Do your thing, brother. Do your thing.
The 11th verse says, "And you shall rejoice in every good thing which Yah, your Elohim, has given you, and unto your house, you and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." So in other words, be thankful for what you got. Don't be looking on somebody else's plate. You should be thankful for what you got. The Most High gives you, that's good. So I just wanted to put that in there because, you know, we're trying to keep up with the Joneses and we're not satisfied. We're always looking to, you know, get more. But you have to be content with what the Most High has given you, because there's somebody out there that got way less than you.
Exactly. Way less than you. And always be cognizant and considerate of other people. It ain't all about you. You're not nothing special. We're all special. And we all should look out for one another. And it's all about us. It's one for all and all for one. Well, Cartrell.
That's the way the Most High wants it.
Just like he wants it. Well, Cartrell, we're ready for that study session in the Book of Psalms.
Yes, sir. Another psalm by King David, our great king. Psalms 144. You got a chance to get there? Pretty sure that's the right one.
Well, hold on. You get started, because, you know, we took a day off, also, inclement weather. Abiyah, may the Most High bless you, my sister, my dear friend. Can you please give us an update on where we're at in Psalms? Bear with us, Katya. You know she kind of slow.
She's quick on her trigger.
Yeah. She may be in the kitchen piddling around. Now she's trying to run back to the computer and whatnot. And we're waiting. Contra, did you hear about that rapper Boss? A rapper called Boss from New York City.
No.
A rapper to pay for her medical bills. The first female artist to be signed to Jeff's Jam West. You know, back in the day, 1993, the woman called Boss. You know, I think one of the Contra, you're correct, Contra. Thank you, Abiyah. I think one of her songs was The Elimination or something like that. She's in need of a kidney transplant. She had a major stroke in 2017.
Wow.
Yeah. She has a GoFundMe. People that are interested maybe can help her. Boss, she has a GoFundMe. GoFundMe Boss fundraiser.
Okay.
And if you're interested to find out further about Boss, a rapper in 1993, go to GoFundMe and type in Boss, and it'll bring up her site if you're interested in that. All right, Contra, we're ready, brother.
Okay. Another song by our great king, King David, Psalms 144. We thank the Most High for him and his wisdom and the words he's left behind for us. Blessed be Yah, my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. He shows me mercy, and he is my fortress, my stronghold, in whom I find shelter, my shield, in whom I take refuge. He subdues my people under me. And that's a big thing, right? To subdue the whole nation of Israel under one man. We know Moses had problems with that because he got challenges all the time. But the people of Israel loved King David, and they were willing to follow him. It says, Yah, what are mere mortals that you notice them at all? Humans that you think about them. Man is like a puff of wind. His day is like a fleeting shadow. Yah lowers the heaven. Lower the heavens and come down. Touch the mountains. Make them pour out smoke. Shoot out lightnings and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Reach out your hands from on high. Rescue me. Save me out of deep waters, out of the power of strangers, whose mouths speak worthless words, and whose right hands swear false oaths. And these are the people that we live amongst, people that speak worthless words, and their right hands swear false oaths, because they put their hand in the Bible. We swear to uphold the Constitution. Yeah, okay. Elohim, I will sing a new song unto you. sing praises to you with a 10-string harp. You give kings their victories. You save your servant King David from the cruel sword. Rescue me, save me from the power of strangers, whose mouths speak worthless words and whose right hands swear false oaths. Our sons in their youth will be like full-grown saplings. Our daughters will be like sculptured pillars fit for the corners of a palace. Our barns are full with crops of every kind. The sheep of our fields number thousands of 10,000s. Our oxen are well fed. Our city walls have no breach. Our people are not taken captive, and there are no cries of protest. Excuse me? And there are no cries of protest in our cities, open places. I mean, we were talking about Black Lives Matter back then in the streets of Jerusalem. Happy are the people who live in such conditions. Happy. How happy are the people whose Elohim is Yah. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Did you catch that, Yamsu?
Yeah, I caught that, brother. Wasn't no protesting. Wasn't no Black Lives Matter. Because everybody was on the point. Yeah.
I'm sure when the conditions wasn't like this, they was in the street protesting.
Exactly. Well, Katriel, my dear brother and friend,
do you
have any commentaries on what you just read? If not, we're going to move right along. If so, we're going to listen up.
Just the fact that King David's words are like ammunition for us. Anytime we have people that are stronger and mightier than us, strangers, who try to rule over us, like he says, he got like poetic words, whose mouths worthless words, which we hear all the time from politicians and the leaders of this nation, and whose right hands swear false oath. And that's what we're seeing. These people don't uphold the Constitution, and they've been lying all the time. So I say put your trust in Yah, not in man, because there is no help from man, and they ain't trying to help you. So my prayers go out to our people that are suffering at this judgment that Yah is putting on this nation, and I pray that he continues to be a shelter and a refuge for our people that know him.
Hallelujah. And backing on what Cartrell says, not only our people, but strangers, widow women, orphans, people in need, because there's a lot of people, universally speaking, our prayers go out for all, because we are to set the example that we should be men and women of our word, and men and women caring about all nations, all those in need, animals, this earth, and so on and so forth. We should take the leadership role in these examples that the Most High left for us. That's why these studies are essential, my brothers and sisters. Let them become second nature to you, part of your innate character, and help you, doing the best you can with what you got, as best you can. Cartrell, my dear brother and friend, you know, thank you very much, brother. It's a pleasure doing y'all's work with you, and you being on point, I can depend on you, and because y'all can depend on you, and I'm very grateful for working along with you, doing y'all's work. It's my pleasure too, brother. Thank you, Aviyah. You are a great assistant in this work. Don't take just because you play a small part, that part is not important. Because if you didn't play the part you did, Aviyah, the show wouldn't go on, because we'd be off track. You keep us on track. We're very grateful for you. And we're very thankful. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you, Aviyah. Thank you too, fellow students, because otherwise we wouldn't have nobody to instruct. If you didn't come on, internationally speaking, you international students, thank you, because you make the Real Talk for Real People show what it is. A study show. A show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov and his relationship, or should be your relationship with him, should be your relationship with different nations, should be your relationship with one another, and so on and so forth. That being said, Cartrell, Aviyah, and I don't know where y'all going, but we know this for a fact. getting ready to get out of here. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Lean not to your own understanding. Why? Because our thinkers are broken. They don't work for us. They're working entirely against us. Get you a new thinker, a thinker like King Dawood asked for, a thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, in your brothers and sisters as yourselves, and that continually thirst after righteousness. That's the kind of thinker you need. That's the kind of thinker we all need. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
When will it end? When will people start getting together again? Are things really getting better, like the newspapers say? What else is new, my friend, besides what I read? Can't find no work, can't find no job, my friend. Money is tighter than it's ever been. Say, man, I just don't understand what's going on across this land. Oh,
what's happening, brother?
Yeah. What's happening? What's happening, my friend? Are they still getting down where we going down? Will our ball club win the pennant? Do you think they have a chance? And tell me, friend, how in the world have you been? Tell me what's
happening.
I wanna know what's in.
What's
the deal, man?
What's happening,
brother? What's happening, brother?
Say, man.
Woo. What's happening, brother? What's been shaking up and down the line? I don't know, 'cause I'm slightly behind the time.